Welcome to this podcast from Vitae. This edition is entitled The Leading Researcher and is based on our booklet authored by Dr. Fiona Denny, Dr. Jeremy Mead, and Paul Toombs. We all have the opportunity to exhibit leadership. It's needed in all spheres of life, at all levels, and in all parts of an organisation. Leaders need first to develop effective self-leadership skills. Only when they have these will they be in a position to influence the behaviour of others. A leader doesn't walk alone, but others willingly walk along with him or her. This podcast looks at ways you can become a more effective leader. It's likely that you will already have demonstrated leadership, whether in your day-to-day work as a researcher, on a sports field, in running a seminar series, or through involvement with a voluntary organisation. We'll look at examples which demonstrate the breadth of opportunity to lead rather than to represent exact situations in your life. Whether or not you are currently in an official leadership role, developing your leadership skills will make a significant contribution to your success in getting things done, forging collaborations, and advancing your career.
This podcast is designed to be a practical guide to leadership, so we want you to go beyond listening, and we hope you'll go out and practice leadership in your daily life. You may also like to look at our researcher development framework, which you can access via the Vitae website. You might find it a useful starting point for thinking about ways you can approach your professional development.
Think about the following questions.
Who do you know personally and respect for their skills as leaders? What do you admire about them?
Note down what you think makes a strong leader. Think of all the skills and attributes that you associate with these strong leaders. Which do you also have? Which would you like to develop? Later, we'll look at ways you can become a better leader.
How to be an authentic leader.
A prominent researcher once wrote,
"The best leaders are not only highly motivated themselves, but somehow are able to radiate that positivity, igniting and mobilising positive attitudes in those around them."
You don't need to be aware of your values to be able to lead in any of the areas outlined in this podcast. You can plan and deliver a strategy. Lead in meetings, get results and manage a crisis, all without understanding your own values and those of others. You will not, however, be leading at your best. Your leadership will essentially be an empty shell and, without meaning, it will not inspire or carry along anyone else. When you understand and lead from your values, you lead with authenticity. Authentic leaders are able to inspire high levels of performance in others because they make performance meaningful. Now consider your core values. You may want to complete the activity contained in the Leading Researcher booklet on the Vitae website, which, if you act from your values, you will be a more coherent and powerful leader.
Leading strategically.
In this next section, we'll look at how you can create your future. Think of this quote from Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland.
One day Alice came to a fork in the road and saw a Cheshire Cat in a tree. "Which road do I take?" she asked. "Where do you want to go?" was his response. "I don't know," Alice answered. "Then," said the cat, "it doesn't matter."
Beginning with an end in mind is important. In Stephen Covey's book, The Habits of Highly Effective People, he wrote,
"Begin with the end in mind means to begin each day, task or project, with a clear vision of your desired direction and destination, and then continue by flexing your proactive muscles to make things happen."
So think about a strategy for your mission. Setting strategic direction is an important step for a leader in any situation, but one which will benefit from the involvement of all those who work towards achieving that strategy.
Think about how you can involve the whole team to use the vast experience you may have at your fingertips. If you're not in an official leadership role, you may be able to provide leadership from within the team.
Even though you may be indirectly involved in reaching the goals set out in the mission, developing your awareness will support good self-leadership and success. For example, researchers applying for grant funding need to be aware of the overall strategic direction in their research field, of the government, of potential sponsors, and of their university and department. They should ensure that their funding application is aligned with all of these if it is to be successful. here are some tips for becoming a successful leader. 1.
Take an appropriate amount of time out to consider long-term goals and to develop a strategy, whatever the project.
2.
Involve the team around you in strategic thinking and planning.
3.
Encourage open communication.
4.
Make sure that everyone understands their role in following the strategy.
5.
Communicate the strategy to all interested parties.
6.
Make sure that the strategy translates into action and results.
A couple of tools used frequently in strategy development are PEST. Political, environmental, social and technological factors and how these influence strategic choices. And SWOT. Strengths and weaknesses of an organisation or approach and the opportunities and threats it faces in its environment. Systematic approaches, for example, scenario planning to consider several possible futures, can also be useful in evaluating the interaction between strategic approach and a changing environment. Why not try evaluating your own career development using these tools?
Leading by getting results.
The former Indian Prime Minister Indira Gandhi once said,
"Leadership at one time meant muscles. Now it means getting along with people."
Whatever you want to achieve, whether to complete a research project, build an extension to your house, or change career, leadership is about more than setting objectives and a strategy. You also need to be an effective leader of your team in action. Whether your team reports to you in your official leadership capacity, you are working as part of the team, or you simply need input from a loose team of others to get something done, practicing good leadership skills will help you to move closer to your goals.
Action-centered leadership.
High-performing groups recognise the needs of team, task and individual, as illustrated by the action-centred leadership model from John Adair. The model proposes that delivering the best possible outcomes over time requires the effective leader to create and maintain a balanced focus on all three areas. If you think of Adair's model as three interlocking rings, with each ring containing the words team, task, and individual, it's your job to overlook these rings. This is sometimes referred to as the helicopter approach. It requires the leader to hover above a situation to get the bigger picture perspective and then to focus in on any particular area that requires attention. This may involve resolving issues in one domain to the exclusion of others. This, however, will be a temporary state of affairs. Over time, the effective leader will be clear about the need for balancing these three aspects. Think of these three questions.
Can you think of examples of good leadership of a team, task, and individual? How's this balance maintained in your group, department, or institution? What motivates you or others as individuals?
Whilst managing task, team and individual is a very simple concept, it is difficult to put into action successfully. Think of something that you need to get done in the next 1 to 3 months. This can be at home or at work. It needs to be reasonably complex and involve input from yourself and from others. Have a go using the following 6-stage process to guide you. 1.
First, meet with your team to agree what success means. What will it look like when you've finished?
2.
Generate a list of tasks that need to be completed and write each one on a separate sticky note.
3.
Arrange the sticky notes in the order the tasks need to be completed.
4.
Encourage individuals to take ownership of specific tasks, taking into account their skills and preferences.
5.
Include regular group review meetings and individual one-to-one meetings in order to balance Adair's three principles.
6.
Plan in time, once you've achieved your goal, to gather feedback and reflect on your own performance in the role of leader.
In the next section, we'll look at how you can influence from any position.
Leading in meetings.
We've all sat in meetings that don't seem to be achieving much. Successful meetings usually have defined outcomes and agreed processes. They may look very different in terms of formality. You may attend meetings which range from one-to-one supervisory meetings through to research group meetings or university-level meetings. Even if you are not formally responsible for leading or chairing the meeting, you still have the opportunity to exert significant influence.
Be ready to propose achievable actions that help to meet the meeting's objectives and can be agreed by everybody involved. Herodotus once said,
"Unless a variety of opinions are laid before us, we have no opportunity of selection, but are bound of necessity to adopt the particular view which may have been put forward."
And go prepared. Even a little thought or research in advance of the meeting will put you in a better position to lead from within the group.
Leading virtually.
Teams aren't what they used to be. Virtual teams are teams of people who primarily interact electronically and who may meet face-to-face occasionally. You may find yourself working on a research project which spans several institutions, disciplines, and possibly even continents. Or you may find yourself in a situation where either you or your supervisor is working abroad for a length of time.
In order to be an effective leader, it's therefore essential to understand the challenges and opportunities presented by working in virtual teams. In essence, working in any team, whether face-to-face or at a distance, presents the challenge for the leader of how to obtain the commitment, accountability and trust of each individual member.
Virtual teams may find that these issues can be more difficult as communication problems can get in the way. The key here is around managing this human element and ensuring that everyone's needs for inclusion, control and openness are met. In virtual teams, it can be more difficult to tell when people are becoming less engaged. An effective leader will therefore be extra vigilant. Some tips for leading virtual teams could include
spending time with individual team members apart from the group, using a range of technologies to suit different preferences, including team-building time, expecting and allowing for cultural differences, paying extra attention to good meeting and project management, sending and reading material well ahead of virtual meetings.
So think about how you would lead in a culturally diverse virtual team working with people from a distance. Make a list of the challenges which may arise and think about how you would address each one.
Leading multiple projects.
Leadership requires an ability to remain at a connected and objective level rather than engaging in the direct day-to-day operation of multiple projects or tasks. It's about ensuring that members of your team are empowered and engaged in delivering clearly defined and agreed results whilst maintaining an overview of the situation.
Leading multiple projects is not something that's confined to the workplace. It's about much more than doing several things at the same time. It's an essential skill that every effective leader needs to master.
A project leader has to consider both tasks and people. This tool for leading on multiple projects could be used. A simple mnemonic to help us to ensure all bases are covered is TOIDPA.
Tune in.
Ensure all members are focused on the project.
Objectives.
Check objectives against the agreed vision and strategy. Check understanding of the project objectives by all group members.
Information and ideas.
Identify known facts and factors. Generate and record ideas. Use quiet thinking time, brainstorming and discussion.
Decisions.
Assess all options and make decisions based on strategic criteria.
Plan.
Delegate tasks according to expertise and allocate resources. Set interim targets if individual tasks are long or complex.
Actions.
Only now complete the tasks. Some in the team may feel uncomfortable with not being released into action immediately. Remind them that the drive to get busy can mean missing vital elements in the process, which may have a detrimental effect. Remember to pay attention to team and individual needs.
Review.
Review needs to be part of the continuous process. How successful are members of the team, including leadership, in completing tasks and meeting objectives? What needs to change? Of course, all of this is helpful, but what if something goes wrong which you didn't plan for?
Leading in crisis.
Think of this line from Rudyard Kipling's famous poem, If.
If you can keep your head while all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you.
In a crisis, a leader must be prepared to make swift and sometimes tough decisions. As well as managing the immediate situation, a good leader considers possible effects of the crisis going forward and plans accordingly. Leadership in a crisis is also about mobilising other people and taking them along with you.
Your leadership style will need to flex according to the situation in which you find yourself. Effective leaders are able to make considered decisions about which style of leadership is most appropriate for the situation they're in.
Have a look at the continuum model developed by Tannenbaum and Schmidt. It shows the relationship between the level of freedom a leader chooses to give to their team and the level of authority used by the leader. In a crisis, although the tendency might be to take an authoritative approach, you may need to use the full extent of the continuum as the needs of the situation and the people involved change.
Leadership and you.
So how can you remain connected and objective? Try drawing a mind map with the question at the centre.
Who am I as a leader?
Note down your thoughts or reflections on who you are as a leader based on what you have learnt from working through this podcast. What do you already do and what are your strengths? Which are your areas for development? What are you going to do to build on those strengths and to become a significantly more impactful leader? You can also develop your leadership skills by taking the following steps. 1.
Seek opportunities to take on leadership roles in and out of your workplace.
2.
Take responsibility for your contribution when working with others.
3.
Decide what you want to develop and engage mentors to help you.
4.
Identify your strengths and have a go at mentoring others in those areas.
5.
Find ways to bring your values to life through your actions.
6.
Get feedback from a variety of trusted sources.
7.
Take the first step today.
A leadership lens on the research and development framework focuses on the knowledge, behaviours and attributes that you develop as a researcher and how these can be acquired through or used in leadership opportunities. The lens illustrates how leadership potential can be developed within and beyond academia. Go to vitae.ac.uk/RDF lenses. The Vitae Researcher Development Framework itself has been designed specifically for researchers as an inspirational guide to personal development. You might find it a helpful starting point for identifying your strengths, making an action plan for development, structuring conversations with your line manager or supervisor, or articulating evidence of your transferable skills when looking for employment. If you'd like to read more about this topic, this podcast is also available in PDF form on the Vitae website and includes several exercises you may wish to try. We also have podcasts on other topics and lots of other information specific to researchers, including courses you may wish to attend. Thank you for listening and goodbye.